God's answer to depression. Next on The Balanced Word.
If I get depressed, he's okay with that. He's not like one of these people that comes up to you and goes, come on, smile, Pastor. Come on, smile. He's like, don't be phony. If you're depressed, eat a piece of cake, take a walk, go hang out in a cave for a while, and then push the next generation forward. I like that.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Life can sure get difficult, as if I had to tell you. And at times we can feel as though there's very little reason to get out of bed and face another day. Some even struggle with thoughts of taking their own life. Today on The Balanced Word, we find a prophet of God at a very low point in his life. He even prayed that he would die, and God ministers to him in a very special way. We'll have a look at Elijah's death wish, and it'll serve to help us get through the low points in our lives and know how to handle depression. We're in 1 Kings 19, continuing our Through the Bible and Story series.
What do we learn from this depressed prophet? You know, most of the prophets in the Bible tended to be depressed. We treat depression as something that's an illness always, and it can be. It can get to the point where you can't function, and so it's certainly, I don't want to act like, hey, you should just ignore depression, but the truth is, if you see things the way you are, you're going to be on somewhat of a roller coaster in your life. People who are really stable are either people who just don't notice what's going on, or they've been medicated to the point of stability. And either self-medicating or whatever. Creative people have a tendency to have high highs and low lows, because they see the incredible joy of, like, God. And they're touched by that, but at the same time, they see realistically the pain in the world. They see that most people will never get it. And as a result, they plunge into the depths of solitude and despair. It's hard to get along with creative people. Every comedian that you see probably is incredibly depressed. So they come out and they put on this act, and then they go back and they feel terrible. It's just kind of the way it is. And it's true of just about, you know, all good art comes out of that. It's just the way it is. And life can be a roller coaster. The truth is, there's a bunch of great things going on in life, and there's a bunch of bad things going on in life. And this world is never going to be perfect. And Elijah certainly shows us that. You can have great experiences, and you can then plunge into the depths of despair for apparently no reason. It's just that you noticed, this hasn't done what I thought it was going to do. I really thought we were on a roll, and now it's just not happening. And so it becomes frustrating and depressing just to see reality for what it is. And we see that in his life. We see a great man who God used incredibly, and yet emotionally he was kind of a wreck and sort of a loner. And so take heart. If you sometimes find yourself in that place, you have company. There were so many prophets who were that way. Jesus himself was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Isaiah said, and you know, we hid our faces from him. It's like, it's not the guy you'd always want to be around. Jesus was not the life of the party. But Jesus did and said some amazing things. At other times, he was overcome with the sense of what was going to happen and the losses around him. He looked at Jerusalem and said, oh, he cried, I long to gather you as a hen gathers chicks, but you would not. He looked at the rich young ruler who was walking away from him because his stuff was worth more than a relationship with God. And he looked at him in love as he walked away. So that doesn't make you like there's something wrong with you. Don't believe that godly people are always happy people. That's how we develop the kind of duplicitous, phony sort of image of Christianity that chases away depressed people because they think, wow, if I was a good Christian, I wouldn't feel this way. Elijah would say otherwise, and it's important for us to recognize that. I also think from this story that you realize sometimes what you need is to have a piece of cake and take a walk. I mean, because that's for 40 days, that's all God did to him. He sends an angel. The angel doesn't say anything. He just goes, here, have something to eat. Here, take a walk. Take a hike. You know, there's a reason why the scriptures use walking as one of the primary metaphors for a relationship with God. Because there's something about getting out there and moving that gets you out of where you're at and prepares you for what's coming. Sometimes you just need to have a burger. Sometimes the best thing you can do to encourage someone is go, hey, let's go out to eat. Oh, I'm trying not to eat. Shut up. Do it this time. You know, it's fine. Oh, no, it's angel food cakes full of calories. I know, but sometimes you just got to eat it. And then after you walk it off for 40 days, I'm sure those calories aren't going to bother you. And so it's interesting that God approaches someone who's so faithful and so down. And his first thing is, are you taking care of your body? Are you in good health? Is there some physical reason why you're partly feeling the way that you are? So he goes, get something to eat, take a walk. That's one of the first things. Steve Jobs, who founded Apple Computers, used to, whenever he took, you know, had meetings with people, he would take them for a walk until his health didn't allow that anymore. Because the idea is while you're walking, sometimes you think better. I know for me, as I'm preparing a message, that until I can actually get out and walk through the message, it just doesn't quite gel. Sometimes it just doesn't formulate. And so there's something to be learned there. Another lesson that we get from this story is that God usually doesn't address us in a big, flashy, spectacular way. I mean, we like to think that. We would love for that to happen. And sometimes we look in our lives as at a time when, wow, back when it was so flashy, I saw such miracles. And we have a tendency to actually make up miracles in order to make it feel like God is here. We sometimes, frankly, live a pretend religion that's based on exaggeration. Or, you know, like there's the evangelist Peter Popoff. He's still on TV today after years ago, he was exposed as having a speaker in his ear, and his wife was telling him information about people in the audience, and he was acting like God was telling him this stuff. And so there's this whole thing of people who pretend that they're hearing from God when really they just have an imaginary friend. And it's like, oh, it's always this amazing things. Well, I totally believe that God does miracles. I've seen him do it. But he usually doesn't. And just because he brings fire from heaven in one circumstance, it may be that next time he wants to speak in a whole different way. And so we've got to get off this thing of, unless it's big and spectacular, it's not God. Because God works in simple ways. God works sometimes not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. Sometimes he just works in whispers. Which then also, if we're going to ever connect with people and really encourage them and minister to them, and if we're ever going to be encouraged when we feel down, two things. You better learn to whisper. You better learn to listen to whispers. You got to listen to that, those cries of someone's heart. Sometimes they might be yelling, but there's a whisper that's underneath that, that's behind it all. And you have to listen carefully to hear that. Maybe they've got their speech, and they've all gone astray, and I alone am left. And yet what you're hearing is a heart that's different than that. And at the same time, whispering is the most profound way to communicate truth always. It's after the yelling is over with. And we really want to hear God yell to us. We want to see the ceiling open up. And instead, he's doing what a good teacher does. A good teacher in class, when the volume level rises with the class, a good teacher doesn't try to raise their voice over the voices of the kids, because that's just a sucker's game. A whole group of kids can always shout you down. Their voices are more shrill, and they take it as a challenge. A really good teacher, when the class is getting too loud, will start to whisper. Try it with your kids or grandkids if you have them. And they see you, and you're like, well, you know what we're doing. And they shut up, and they're like, what? Wait, what? What's going on there? That's what God does. And I think a lot of times people will hear our whispers much better than they'll hear our shouts. You know, and so to develop this ability to speak softly, to say less, to just listen to what people are saying and let them process it, and then offer, if we offer something, offer it subtly. After we've fed them and taken them for a walk, just go, I'm listening to you, but hey, here's the deal. Here's what God wants you to know. And I see this in this story, in this passage, and it makes me want to learn to be better at that. Better at listening, better at whispering, for sure. Another thing that we see coming out of this story is you are never alone. You're not alone. That's what God was whispering to him about. Now, you look at it and you might go, I don't know. I feel alone. I don't think there's anyone. But see, when you're in a cave, it's easy to feel like you're alone. But God's like, no, there's a bunch of people out there. And it's understandable that you go, every time I've trusted someone, they've burned me. Everyone I've gotten close to, they hurt me. So everyone must be like that. And nobody gets it because nobody's here for me right now. And what God says is to Elijah is, you're not alone. I mean, there's 7,000 people you don't even know about. There's some other guys who are going to take political positions. And there's another guy who's going to take over for you. And you're not alone. That isn't where you're at. That's not real. You got to know that. That just because everyone that you know is a jerk, maybe you need to get to know some other people. Because if you don't get out of your cave, down the mountain, and start connecting with people, you won't find the real ones. And yeah, they're few and far between, but they're worth the search. There are people. And some of you know there are people in your life who you just haven't trusted enough to be with them, but they're there. You're not alone. You're not nearly as alone as it feels like. And, you know, I think, too, that in looking at this, and especially at the relationship between Elijah and Elisha, theirs is such an interesting one. But when I look at that, I think Elisha was willing to deal with Elijah's personality. Elijah was a crotchety guy who had just been through life and he was worn out and he wasn't going to be easy to deal with. But Elisha, who seemed like one of these people who was just on a high chronically, he was just that way, he was the perfect guy to come along. Because when Elijah's trying to get rid of him, he's just like, nope, I'm still here. Come on, why don't you? Elijah said things to him that if Elisha was like Elijah, he would have been off in a cave. But Elisha's just like, it's okay. You know, I love you enough that you could act like that. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. That's a great capacity to have, too, is to be able to deal with people in your life and understand their personalities, understand their characteristics, understand what, you know, where maybe they're quirky, maybe they could just be mean, maybe they're stubborn or tired or whatever. And to be able to see past that's really important. And along with that, too, I think that what we see here and the central part, partly of what God was doing, is there's another generation. I know you're tired. I know you feel alone. But I have plans that go beyond you. This isn't just about the Elijah show. This is the God show. And so I have a guy, Elisha, who actually, as it turned out, you know, he asked for a double portion of the blessing. And if you read through 1 and 2 Kings, you can count basically 7 miracles that Elijah did. And then Elisha did 14 miracles. And so it's like, somebody's coming along that's actually going to do a lot more than you do. So just because you're running towards the end and it's like, I'm not as productive as I used to be, it's like, okay, then put your energy into Elisha. Because when you pass the baton to him, he's going to take off and he's got a temperament that can deal with this. And God's going to use him in a great way. It's so important for us to understand this because we have our best days, and then we're like, okay, man, I'm getting, the older I get, the more I see Elijah had a point. Oh, I'm the only one that's left. I don't trust anybody. And so what do you do in that? Ultimately, it's we need to pass things off. We need to appreciate the next generation and believe that God's going to use them and encourage them along the way. Throw our mantle on them. Allow them to pick it up. Decide that your kids and your grandkids and the next generation and the next generation of the church means more than just what, you know, we are. And, you know, a couple weeks ago or last week, I went and shared with our Seasoned Classics ministry. It's a ministry for people who consider themselves seasoned classics. And some of us got there early. Some of us still don't realize we're there. But in talking with those people, I mean, it was cool. It was like, wow, we sang hymns and we did. And it was great. I had a great time. But in talking with the people and talking about our church, it was really cool. And part of it was, because I was just asking, so how do you like church and what's going on? How do you like the worship? And I was so blessed when some people who were along in age like me, or some of them even older, who said, you know, the new worship with Anson, it's great. And I go, really? Because I hear old people complaining it's too loud, too much drums, too this, too that. They go, yeah, it is. But they said, we're just so excited to see the passion. We're so excited to see younger people who are worshiping God. And we're more than happy to be a little bit inconvenienced. And I thought, wow, there's two ways to deal with the next generation. Either to go, I wish they would just do it the way we did. They don't know our songs. Or to go for it, you guys. Love what you're doing. That's the same stuff that old people said about us when we were young. And I realized this, man, you're the Elisha generation. We're going to support you. We want to be behind you. We want to help you along the way. That was ultimately God's answer to Elijah. Was that it doesn't end with your generation. So use your generation to spur on the next generation. Take your experience and pour it into others and realize they're a part of us. When they succeed, we succeed. Because it's all about God ultimately. So, I mean, all of this, I just love this story. There's so much in it that challenges me. There are so many times when I feel like Elijah. Like, maybe my best day is past me. Maybe, you know, this is a point where, you know, you can't keep topping yourself. And I can remember back in the day, and I start talking about back then. And, you know, but I love the fact that God's not done. He keeps working. And he's going to keep working. And the cool thing is, if I get depressed, he's okay with that. He's not like one of these people that comes up to you and goes, come on, smile, Pastor. Come on, smile. He's like, no, he's like, don't be phony. If you're depressed, eat a piece of cake, take a walk, go hang out in a cave for a while, and then push the next generation forward. I like that. Now, there may be people who are here now listening that you've never actually entered into a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The way you can tell that is you feel alone. You feel like you've been deserted by God. If you at one point thought there was a God, maybe you were raised in a church, you finally come to the point where you're like, I don't know. I really think I'm alone. And if that's you, and you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day to do that. Because he's waiting. You're in a cave hiding, and he's out there going, just get down there. Start to live your life. Your sins can be forgiven today, right now. Your past can be put behind. You can begin to move forward. And that's what God wants to do for you. And he says, all you have to do for that to happen is to tell him okay. Is to say, okay, I'm in. I'm up for this. I want to walk with you. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want a fresh start in my life. If that's you, you can do that within your heart, even right now. You can just say to God, yep, that's what I need. I want to give my life to you. I want your son's death to be for me. When that happens, a couple things happen. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way for the rest of eternity to be with God. But not only that, now you find out you're never alone. You really aren't. There's a bunch of us. There's 7,000 people out there, and other people are going to be close to you and other things that he wants to do in order to let you know that you're not alone. If you want to reject Jesus Christ, if you go, nah, I'm not up for that, then enjoy being alone, because that's all you've got. The truth is, most of the people that you've depended on have already let you down, and you know that. Or if you're still depending on people, just give it time, and they will. But if you accept Jesus Christ, you will never be alone. You'll always be linked up with him, and I pray that you'll do it.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to finish things up in a word of prayer, Pastor Dave once again.
God, thank you for what you've done for us to allow us to call you our friend, to allow us to walk with you and eat with you and talk with you and be frustrated with you and have you to just be there listening to us. And then after we get tired, as you begin to whisper your love and your truth in our ears. Lord, for anybody here who doesn't know you, help them to realize it's just so foolish to live life alone. And it's such a beautiful invitation to accept your son and start life over. And I pray that they will do that. Draw them by your Holy Spirit to come into that relationship with you, even as we partake in that which you told us to do, to remember what you did for us. And so, God, we thank you for this story this encounter that if we look honestly enough, we see ourselves all through this story. And we learn so much about you, and we learn so much about how we can encourage others, as you've done for him. So thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
A leper is healed on the next Balanced Word. Don't miss our next Bible story centered around 2 Kings 5. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And